Well, and we're going to talk about the state ramifications of this right when we get through the IRS, but California is definitely at the forefront of some pain going on as far as contractors. So we've taken what Washington has done and upped it quite a bit. So as far as everybody has to be aware that there are different levels of employees, right? I mean, we have what would be considered common law employees, and those are going to be just your employees. There are statutory employees as well, and these are folks that are going to be statutorily covered for one reason or another. And this can be on the federal side as well as on the state side. And then we have independent contractors and corporate officers. So the code deals with different types of employees and how they would be taxed for payroll purposes, depending upon their classification. We also have that issue on the state side. About 2/3 of the states actually employ a test that is different from the IRS, but you have to understand that they all have a basis in the IRS treatment. So the states have taken the IRS rules and parsed them out however they saw fit. And it resulted in 2/3 of the state following the test that you see here, that the worker is free from the direction and control of the entity. And that would be how the state would consider somebody to be a contractor. The work is done outside the usual course of business of the company, and the workers engaged in a separately established business is generally what the majority of states are going to take a look at. Each state has their particular nuances as well, so you can't necessarily assume that this test is going to be followed, or the state could take a different focus. Like I said, when I was auditing for the state of California, you know, the state decided that all of a sudden they were going to bring roofers into compliance, and that's all I was auditing. I spent 2 years auditing strip clubs because the state went after strip clubs and became a professional in auditing strip clubs. And so you'll see that there's different focuses and different ways that they'll apply these tests, or the ways that they'll look at the factors depending upon the industry that they're actually looking at.
So not to bring up a dumb war story, but when you meet with hiring folks, right, and we're from the state of Florida, so we don't have a personal income tax, when they respond with, well, Texas doesn't have a state income tax either, so what does it matter how we treat them as? That solves maybe just the withholding element of having an employee, right? So just because the state doesn't have a personal income tax, that doesn't excuse random professor from putting their student somewhere else and just ignoring employment obligations.
Well, no, that's a perfect segue into this. Go ahead, Kyle, and then I'll lead
it. I work a ton with benefits. When you guys tax folks, some of you may work with your benefits office, your plans, and some of you may not work as closely with them. But for a lot of the state institutions especially, a lot of the governing documents, they are based on whether or not your person is an employee or not under state law. And so, you know, we worry a lot at the University of Washington about whether someone's been correctly classified for benefits plan purposes, which I know this is a tax conference, but oftentimes the expenses associated with screwing up your benefits can be more significant than your tax consequences. Now, not to say the tax consequences are not significant, but benefits consequences are extremely expensive and very prone to class actions. So state employment classification is actually really, really big. And as Mindy mentioned, I like to say this to my client, and I say this in confidence among friends. You know, states, I think of the IRS as very relatively sophisticated. They're smart. They have smart people. Oftentimes you can explain things to them and they will understand them, or at least take them under advisement. They'll work with you. They'll craft stuff. I find the state folks to be a little more, Mindy, please don't. I'm sure this has changed since you were there. You were probably much more nuanced.
I was just going to say, you're wounding me here. Go ahead.
The state folks are much more gung-ho. They come after you harder, in my opinion. And not only they come after you harder, they're not less smart than the IRS, but they're less interested in nuance. They're less interested in hearing your particular unique special snowflake university story. They want to just they want you to comply, and they want to hit you with hammers. And I think a lot of the times that comes from not just who they are, but also because they often have a budget that's been given to them by the governor. And so it's either your institution's going to pay or my department's going to pay if this ever goes south. And they want to make sure you're going to pay and it's not their department that pays. So I feel that states are actually a lot more aggressive And a lot more aggressive, both in terms of coming in and trying to enforce things, but also a lot more aggressive once they're already in there.
And I'll agree with Kyle on that, especially now. I mean, anytime, again, you see a downtick in the economy, you're going to see an uptick in the audits. And because they have a budget to fill. And so we will see increased audit activity, especially around this area, because the one thing you need to understand is with a payroll tax audit, you're bringing people into coverage that were not there previously. This is pure tax dollars for the state. There was just a report that came out from the IRS that was talking about the tax gap that exists. And a big portion of the tax gap exists because of folks that are independent contractors, that they're either not filing all of their income correctly and the IRS is not getting the payroll taxes. So filter that down to the state level, and there is a huge impetus or a huge drive for folks to get reclassified just to take care of these issues. So this slide here goes back to Joel's comments about what the employer is obligated for. If you're in a no-tax state, you know, and a worker's misclassified, you don't have state income tax withholding. So there isn't an issue there, but you do have benefit plan significance, equity compensation. Not in your area, you won't have the equity issues. Your bigger area is the benefit plans and the fact that the employees didn't get to participate in benefits. We also have federal and state unemployment insurance. The DOL is big into auditing this area because, again, they want to bring individuals into coverage for those DOL rules, such as overtime, meal break periods, all of those things that are attached to labor law. Those worker determinations go into the labor law issues as well. And that is a scarier area to me. The payroll taxes are so small of this, you know, on this compared to the other issues that you could potentially face. I'd be more concerned with those, the FLSA and all the other things that you're going to encounter.